Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 3, the apostle said, "I was with you," the church at Corinth, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Notice here that before there is faith in God's power, there needs to be demonstrations of the Spirit and power. Look at that again in verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that," here's the purpose for it, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So, in order for us to have faith in the power of God, we need to first have demonstrations of the Spirit and of God's power. Now, the word demonstration there means showing forth, making manifest. When I think of the word manifest or making something manifest, I think, of course, in spiritual terms, I'm thinking of what's in the unseen coming into the seen. And so we know that the Spirit of God, He is in the unseen. God is everywhere. He's all around us, but we can't see Him. He's in that unseen realm, but we are to make Him manifest. Bring Him from the unseen into the seen realm. Here the Apostle Paul is saying that he wasn't just teaching them, but he also took time to demonstrate the flow of the Spirit, because without the demonstrations, their faith would be in just the wisdom of His teaching. So we need demonstrations of the Spirit and of God's power so that our faith is not just in human teaching about God, but our faith is actually in the power of God and in yielding to and flowing with the Holy Spirit. We need to have that. If you look over there in Romans chapter 10, hold your place here and go to Romans the 10th chapter. Sometimes we will read things and not really hear what the Scripture's saying. We kind of fill in the blanks with what we think it's saying. Here in Romans 10, in verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith in what? A lot of times we think, well, faith in God's word comes by hearing God's word. That's many times how we'll read that. Faith in God's word comes by hearing God's word. Yeah, if you hear God's word, you have faith in God's word. But going back here again to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says that your faith should be in what? In the power of God. So where should our faith be? In the power of God. Faith in the power of God more than just faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is to calls us to have faith in the power of God. But the Word of God will not produce faith in the power of God if we don't have demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. If we just have the Word without the demonstrations of the Spirit, then what we're going to have is faith in God's Word. Faith in God's Word coming by God's Word. And everything stops with the Word and no power. But ultimately, God's Word is to take us to the power of God. God's Word is not just to take us to God's Word so that we have more faith in God's Word. God's Word is to take us to the power of God. The only way that's going to happen is if we demonstrate the power of God and demonstrate the Spirit of God who has given us the Word of God. So you got to have them both. You got to have the Spirit and the Word. You can't just have teaching of the Word of God. We have to have times of demonstrations of the Spirit of God. Times where we can see in manifestation the flow of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Now, if we could not do that, then why would the Apostle Paul be saying that's exactly what he did when he was at the church of Corinth? He taught them the Word. Sure, he taught them the Word, but he also did something else that is very foreign to much of the church world. He did something else. What was that? He demonstrated the moving and the flow of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, the power of the anointing of God. So that their faith that comes from the Word didn't just leave them with faith in the Word, but they had faith in the power of God. They actually had faith to be able to flow and move and cooperate with the Spirit of God. They knew what it looked like. They knew what it felt like. They knew how to do it, and they knew how to get results. They knew how to experience the power of God. And that's how in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he starts off talking to them how they come behind and no gift, and how there was all kinds of tremendous manifestations of the Spirit of God in their midst. In actuality, he had to bring some balance to the church. He had to help get them over into some more, having some more structure in their services. You see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, especially, where he's emphasizing structure and telling them, now, guys, you can't just be speaking in tongues. You can't just have the moving of the Spirit of God. There has to be structure. There has to be order. Everything that God does is done decently and in order. And so he had to help them to bring some order to it and some structure to it. Because, man, there was power, and they were flowing, and they were yielding themselves to the Spirit of God, and there was all kinds of unusual things happening, and people getting healed, and all kinds of amazing things happening, that if an uninformed person came walking in or an unbeliever came walking in, they wouldn't understand what the world's going on. Now, we've gotten over in today's society, we've gotten over into the other side of the ditch. You know, you go down a road, many times there's a ditch on one side, ditch on the other side. They were over in this ditch over here. They're over here in the power of God. And they're seeing miracles and all kinds of things. They're flowing, yielding to the Holy Spirit, speaking in an unknown language, doing all these things. But then they had no structure. So you see, they weren't able to be as efficient as they were supposed to be. Well, now today, all we have in much of the church world at large is just structure. We're in a structure ditch. And most of the church world knows nothing about the moving of the Holy Spirit. Demonstrations of the Spirit and of power? What are you, a heretic? They think that's heresy. And it's another ditch. That's why the church world isn't getting very far down the road, because they're over here in a ditch. You're not going to get very far. Imagine having to go on a long trip and half of your car is in a ditch. Trying to go down the road and you got this muddy ditch. The wheels are spinning. I mean, you got great RPMs. And things are screaming and howling. And there's smoke everywhere, but you're not going very far. I think that's where much of the church world has been. It does not say here in Romans 10:17 that faith in God's word comes by hearing God's word. We fill that in our heads. That's how we read it. Faith in God's word comes by hearing God's word. No. If you come over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says it's faith in God's power comes by hearing God's word, or comes forth by hearing God's word. So we need to be seeing God's power coming forth. We need to be seeing the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, coming forth, manifesting, showing forth, and demonstrating. We need both of them. Jesus didn't say in Acts chapter 1, he said, "And you shall receive Scripture when the Bible has come to you, and you shall be witnesses to me." Did he say that? Well, you're not going to be much of a witness for him before you have his Scripture. Because they had the Scriptures. The Pharisees had the Scriptures. They were sticklers for the Scriptures, weren't they? Oh, yeah, Jesus said to them, he said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life. But they are that which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life." Isn't that something? They had the Scriptures. We think, well, if we have the Scriptures, we'll be a great witness for Jesus. No. No, if that was the case, then he never would have said these words. What did he actually say? "And you shall receive power when the Bible," no, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses." You shall be witnesses. You shall be a sign and a wonder to the world when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Not when the Bible falls on your head. But that's what we always see. A lot of times people just walk around with the Bible. "I got the Bible." That makes you a witness? No. Could make you a Pharisee. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says, "Well, I got the Bible. Isn't that powerful?" No, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. You need to know how to take this Bible and mix it with the Holy Spirit and his power. Otherwise, you just have Scripture. If you don't know how to yield and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, all you have is Scripture. Thank God for the Scriptures. I'm not making light of the Scriptures. But the Scriptures by themselves will keep you very limited and in many cases powerless. Powerless to effect real change in your life. The Bible doesn't say over in Romans 8, those who are led by the Scriptures are sons of God. That's not what it says. It says those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit, he leads us in line with the Scriptures. And it's through the Scriptures that we can recognize the Spirit of God and hook up and yield to him. But that's ultimately what the Scriptures are to produce in our life. The ability to recognize and hook up with the Holy Spirit. Not just think, "Satan," and start quoting Scripture. You can't just sit there and quote Scripture. See, we could sit there and just smack the devil around with Scripture all day long, but we gotta know how to recognize and flow and yield to the Holy Spirit and how to release that healing anointing, release that power of God. And how's that going to happen? Well, we need to have times where we come together and we're not just taught the Bible, but we're in a place where there's demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. So that our faith is not just in the teaching of men about God, but our faith is in the power of God. Hebrews chapter 11 says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the what? The formula of things hoped for? No. Faith is not just a formula. And yet for most people it is. It's just a formula. But no, we don't want to just get the formula, which is what the Bible will give us. We want to get the substance. The substance of faith. And what's the substance of faith? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13 says, "And we having the same Spirit of faith." Faith is a spirit. It's the Spirit of God. That word substance, when you look it up there over in Hebrews chapter 11, it's also used, I think it's in chapter 1 of Hebrews, somewhere else in Hebrews, it's used for the person of Jesus Christ. Faith is a substance. Faith is the person of things hoped for. Faith has a personality. Faith is living. Faith is powerful. Because faith isn't just scripture. Faith is the Spirit. Faith is a living personality. Faith is a person. Faith is someone who is alive and moving. And when you're in faith, you're in the move of that Spirit. You're flowing with Him. You're yielding to Him. And there's a lot of folks, they have learned the scriptures, but they have not learned to yield and flow and cooperate with the moving and operations of the Holy Spirit. And so there isn't much power being made manifest in and through their life. And that is what is missing. You can't just have Bible scripture and have faith in the Word. It doesn't say faith in the Word comes by hearing the Word. It's faith in the power of God that comes by hearing the Word of God. Sure, we believe the Word of God, but we go, it's not just believing the Word of God. It's believing in the God of the Word. I mean, it's sometimes you got to turn that around. It's just faith in God's Word. It's faith in the God of the Word. That's what the Word of God gives us. Faith in the God of the Word. What about the God of the Word that He is? And He's now and He's here. And bless God, if we'll believe and yield to Him, glory to God, He'll manifest Himself and He'll bring forth power that'll make us a sign and a wonder to this world. But you got to watch to see that pride comes in and we think we know it all because we know all the scriptures. And we know nothing at all because we don't know the God of the scriptures like we should. We don't know how to yield and cooperate with Him. And faith knows how to yield and cooperate with the Spirit of God. Without the demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, we risk not having faith in the demonstration of the Spirit and of God's power. So we need to have demonstrations. Faith becomes a form or a formula of godliness when there's no faith in God's power. It just because faith just becomes a form or a formula. Form is an outline, a structure, something used to teach and show technique. I think when I was back in karate, you know, I was in the martial arts and we learned a lot of forms. All kinds of forms, all kinds of interesting names. Palge 1, Palge 2, all kinds of different names. All different forms. And you would get up and you would practice these forms, and if you wanted to go up in belt color, you know, in rank, then you know you had to get these certain forms. And every rank you went up, you learned more forms. And so, but these forms would help you with your technique, you know? Like we learned this, you know, you step forward into a low block. That's a low block, see? And you got to bend your knee, lock this leg like that, see? Hands on your hip. And you do like, you know, you do the form. So the form would be like a pattern. It'd be a pattern. You go, phew, phew, phew. And then you'd spin around. And you do something like this. And you do something like this, see? Hey! Hey! That was my own form. I made that up. But you would learn forms like that, see? And it was important. There was a discipline to it. It was an important part in learning the technique and making your moves crisp and sharp. And you did it properly. But if that's all you did, and you went out on the street and got into a fight, and somebody jumped out at you and you went, right? I would think you're not going. You know, you're in big trouble. It's not going to work. It's not going to work in combat. It's not going to work out on the street, is it? No, you got to have something else. You got to have tournaments. You got to have times where you get in the ring with an opponent. Put the gloves on. Put the headgear on. Get in there and fight. Flow around. And in there, you use the techniques you learn. But you got to also know how the ring feels. You got to know how to get into a combat situation. You got to know how to weave and bob and move when you're with an opponent in actual combat. So you have to have both. Otherwise, I mean, there was this one young Oriental guy, sharp as a tack. And I mean, he had great forms. He was like a natural too. He just, when he started, I mean, he was able to throw kicks up in the air. I had to work hard to get my kicks up there. I did a lot of stretching. I earned my kicks, let me tell you. But this guy, he was just naturally limber, you know. He just throw kicks around. Anyway, one day we got in the ring together. Now, I also was doing something else on the side because even the tournament fighting wasn't real enough. It wasn't close enough to street fighting because even in these tournaments, you know, there was no full contact. You could only make contact to this part of the body and you couldn't hit the person in the face and couldn't kick below the belt, thank God, or anything like that. And that was all good and fine. But I wanted something that was more street-like, so I got over into kickboxing. Full contact, you know. So I'd know what it's like getting hit in the head. What does that feel like? Bam! Okay, that's how that feels. You know, you get hit in the head. Get punched in the nose. All right, yeah. That didn't feel good. But you know what it feels like. You know what it burns. Your eyes are watering. I can hardly see my opponent. I see two opponents now. You know. And you have to adjust, and you have to be able to flow with it. You got to be able to work in those conditions, and you got to know what it's like. You got to have some experience. You know, I mean, when the first time it happens to you, you know, you're shocked, but you got to get over it. You know, you got to become street smart. You got to know what it's like to be in a fight. So that's why I wanted to do the full contact thing. So I get in the rank with Mr. Form. I mean, he had forms. It was incredible, his form. His form was so beautiful, like, oh. He was amazing. I never would want to compete with the guy against him on forms. But then we got into a little sparring match. And my foot grazed him in the face. And he fell down, covering his face, crying. And everybody jumped in. Stop, stop, stop. I thought, what happened? See, he had no sense of what it was really like to be in a combat situation. He was able to look impressive, you know? What am I saying? Form is nice. But form without the power of God is a waste of time. It's impressive. It looks amazing. But it's not really all that effective in life. Even to the point of the Apostle Paul saying that in the last days there would be those who, over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says in verse 5, there'd be those having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. He's saying stay away from people like that. Little did he know that in the last days that would be most of the church world we'd have to stay away from. Because most of what we have is form of godliness, teaching, but no tournaments. We got lots of teaching, but no tournaments. We need to have some tournaments. We need to know how to get in the ring. If that young man who I was sparring with had gotten slapped around a little bit in the ring, he wouldn't have fallen down shocked that something hit him in the face. Something hit me in the face. Hardly hit him at all, just grazed him. Went down crying. What do we have today? Christians, in the name of Jesus, they fire out the scriptures, they shoot off the word of God. And then, when trouble comes, they run to the wisdom of men. They run to the doctor. They run to Tylenol. They run to the psychiatrist. They run to whoever they can that will help them in this situation with natural human wisdom. That's where they ultimately go. Much of the church world, that's where they'll run to in a pinch, in a crisis. And the crisis might not be much more than a pinch. But that's where they're going to run. They're going to run to the doctor. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of doubt and unbelief. Got a lot of folks that just learning the form, but never getting in the ring, never experiencing the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't know the flow of the Spirit, your faith will have no fight. Like a watchdog that has no bite. That's what a lot of folks say. Imagine having a watchdog that has no bite, you know. You ever see a dog like that? I remember one time it was this little dog, and man, it was ferocious. About this big. I mean, that thing was coming out. Started running after me. I mean, just screaming and yelling. And it kept running out to me, and I went, "Hah!" And it turned around and took off. Probably it came running up to me, probably quoting dog scriptures. I'm one of the conqueror. No, I have more meals, he'll prosper. In the name of Jesus, I always strive and I always win. It didn't work, master. You got to know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm reminded of the children of Israel when they kept coming out to battle against the Philistines. And I love this over in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Children of Israel have been gathering together for battle against the Philistines. And Jesse, David's father, told him to go down. Go down to the battle, see what's going on, see how your brothers are doing. Because they were in the army, you know, his brothers were in the army. So David went down there. Verse 20, it says, "So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army of Israel, was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Notice that in verse 20 it says that the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. Sound like an excited bunch of people. Shouting for the battle. Here we go. This is what David walks up to. Wow, what's going on? We're going out to the battle. Hey, yeah. I mean, they're waving their spears and their swords, and they're swinging their weapons around. Hey! They're shouting. David's seeing the whole thing. This is quite an army. What David didn't know is they've been doing this for over a month. For over a month. Children of Israel coming out, lining up on one side. Philistines lining up on the other side. And everybody's shouting. And then it says, verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same word. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So they came out shouting, ready to fight, but then Goliath came out and revealed that they had no bite. And they all ran and hid in the caves and under the rocks from this man, from this great giant that was standing out there threatening them. Isn't that something? I find it kind of comical, you know? But yet you see that so much today. Put on the full armor of God, you know. We put on the full armor. How do you put on the full armor of God? Well, you talk it up, praise God. You take it up by talking it up. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. My mind is on things above, not on the things of the earth. My helmet is on. My breastplate is on. We just declare the scriptures, declaring the word of God of who we are in Christ Jesus, man. It dresses you up real good. Gets you fully armed. Hallelujah. But then when Goliath comes out, when an actual battle comes near you, what happens? The next thing you know, people are running. People are hiding. People are panicking. And they got no fight. So David sees this guy, and he says, who is this guy? Because you understand, David was a man of faith. I said he was a man of faith. What do you mean? He had faith in the power of God. He had faith in the anointing. And so, you know, when he began to talk a big talk, the king heard about it. They took him to the king. And he told the king, he said, when I was out there keeping the sheep, a lion came out and tried to attack the sheep. And I grabbed that lion and I killed it. And then he said, when a bear tried to come out and take the sheep, I grabbed it by the beard and struck it and killed it. And he said, the God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Man, he had faith in the power of God. Israel came out shouting, wearing the armor of God. But when the rubber met the road, they didn't know what to do. How do we deal with this? How do we flow with this? How do we get around this? What do we do in this situation? Man, when we know how to yield and flow with the Holy Spirit, we know how to get through any situation. Because that's how you get through every situation. Yielding and flowing to the Holy Spirit. It's not about having all the answers in your head. It's about being able to yield and flow with the answer. Who's a person in your heart. So we need to yield and flow and cooperate with the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we get out of crisis. And when you understand how to flow and yield with the Holy Spirit, then you know you don't need to know, you don't need to have a head full of knowledge of what to do in this situation. You just have to know who's with you in this situation. And if God is for me, who can be against me? That's not just a word, but you know he's for you because you know he's with you, because you know he's upon you, because you know how to yield and cooperate and make him manifest in your world. We got to know how to make him manifest in our world. David knew how to do it. He had this relationship with God, and he knew how to yield and flow with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't stuck in a form. And I find it further amusing that here he testifies to the king and he's talking his talk, and the king recognizes this guy's got faith, this guy can do it. You know, David was so convinced in what God can do in and through his life, his testifying of it was a witness to the king and everybody else to the point where it put faith in them of what God can do through him. Because the deal was this, the Philistine Goliath, he had said, bring me a man, give me a man that we might fight together. If he kills me, then we, all these Philistines, will be Israel's servants, your slaves, will be yours. But if I kill him, then you'll be our slaves. So for King Saul to say to David, go, and the Lord be with you, which is what he said. He had to have faith that David could do this thing, because if David gets killed, the agreement is we all become slaves of the Philistines. But he believed David could do it. Because David believed he could do it. Because David believed in God. We need to have such faith in God that's so personal and so intimate and genuine that it convinces the world around us of the God in whom we have faith. Our faith in God puts faith in others. But if we just try to bring them a letter, try to tell them about a Jesus that we read about and were taught in Sunday school, I'm going to teach you about my Jesus that I've been taught about. We're just passing on teaching. And we might not get a real convert. A real conversion. What we might get is someone to join our church. That's about all we'll get in most cases, if we're lucky. But he said, I give you power to be witnesses. To be witnesses. We got to go with the power, in the Spirit of God we speak. By the Spirit of God we speak about God. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we testify of the Scriptures. And glory be to God, the anointing of God cuts to the heart, convicts the soul, and brings a person to repentance. Because we brought God into the conversation, not just a Bible Scripture. Just quoting Scripture doesn't necessarily bring God into the situation. Pharisees were quoting the religious people of Jesus' day. They were quoting Scriptures and chasing Jesus away. And Jesus was the very life, the very person of the Bible. He was the Word of God made flesh. They're quoting the Scripture, driving him out. We go up to people and try to tell them about Jesus and drive Jesus right out while we're telling them about Jesus. And we just connect people with us. With our personality, with our style. God needs to be there. God needs to be there. We need to know how to yield to him then. We need to know how to flow with him. So here the children of Israel, you know, so David, now he's standing before Saul, and David's saying, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And then notice verse 38. So Saul, that's the king, clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. Why? Because this is how you go to fight. If you're going to go into a battle, this is what we do. We put these things on. If you're going to fight, you need the sword. If you're going to fight, you're going to need my helmet. You're going to need some, so you can't go out there dressed like a shepherd boy. Where was Saul's faith? It was in his form. It was in his equipment. And that's why he was hiding in the rocks with everybody else. When the push came to shove, when the trial actually came upon them, he's wearing his armor, but ain't getting him anything in the real battle. It's impressive. He looks like the king, but he's hiding from Goliath. So now he's trying to put his form, what he has faith in, on David. Here, put my armor on. This is what a soldier wears. If you're going to win a battle, you got to. This is how we do it. Here's the form. Here's the technique. I love this. Verse 39, and David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk. For he had not tested or proved them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk in these, for I have not tested them or proved them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. I mean, this man is, he's got an armor bearer in front of him with a shield, and I mean, he's dressed to the tilt. Verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and good looking. This guy was obviously ugly. Right? He had to be. He had to be ugly. So that's why it bothered him so much. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Notice where his faith was. It wasn't in his equipment. Therefore, he wasn't impressed when he saw all this equipment. I mean, this guy was dressed up like a cathedral. He looked amazing. David wasn't impressed because he knew where God was. He knew where God was. He knew God was with him. And God wasn't with the Goliath. He had God with him. Are we confident? God is with me. God is with me. God is with. That's what the word should be doing to us. It should be putting faith in us that God, God, shikalalabashata, God is with me. I can run against a troop. I can leap over a wall. That's what David said. Because the Lord has anointed me with fresh oil. Oh, hallelujah. That fresh oil of heaven, that anointing of the Holy Ghost. When you recognize the power of God is present, when you know the power of God is with you, then what? What could be against you? What could be too much for you? What can you not do? Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know how to yield to his strength? Do you know how to yield to his strength? We need to learn how to yield to the Spirit of God and stay in the Spirit for at least the entire service where the Spirit is moving. Think about that. A lot of folks can't even stay in the Spirit long enough in a Spirit-moving service. How in the world then are they going to be able to be in the Spirit and yield and cooperate with the Spirit out in a carnal, fleshly, unspiritual world? See, we got to be trained to yield to the Spirit. to know how to cooperate with Him, to stay with Him. If we can't stay in the Spirit throughout a spiritual service because selfishness makes us feel bored and detached from God and what He's doing, how much more will we be detached from the Spirit when surrounded by the flesh out in the world? Think about that. Do we really know how to connect and flow with the power of God when we don't even know how to maintain the joy of the Lord? I got news for you. The joy of the Lord is the Lord's joy. It's not you amusing yourself. It's not you making yourself happy. I'm trying to be happy, Ben. I'm trying to be positive. Positive thinking. It's human wisdom. You're not yielding to Him. I got news for you. God's very happy. No. God is very happy. I don't have time to prove that tonight, but I can prove that this weekend. God is very happy. And it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. It's yielding to His happiness. Yielding to His happiness. Yielding to His joy. It's not about Him making you joyful. It's about you yielding to His joyfulness. And His joyfulness flowing through you. And so you're made joyful, but it's not really you being joyful. It's the joy of the Lord that's manifesting through you. Manifesting through you. Coming forth through your life. If you can't connect with the flow of the Holy Spirit in the middle of a flow of the Spirit, how will you flow with the Spirit out in the flood of ungodliness that is out in the street? How's that? See, we got to know how to do this thing. How do I flow with the Holy Spirit? If we can't do that now, then we're never going to do it. Certainly not going to do it out there. We got to be so good at it in here that we go out there. That's what we do. We've learned it so well. In the house of God. If you can't step out and find your way in a Holy Spirit training session, how will you be able to step out and find your place in God in the midst of a panicking world? The whole world's in a panic. How are you going to find your place in God if you can't even find it in church? If God's Spirit makes you uncomfortable in service, you're going to be really uncomfortable and unable to connect with Him around sinners. That's for sure. Did you get that one? I'm going to read that one again. If God's Spirit makes you uncomfortable in service, you're going to be really uncomfortable and unable to connect with Him around sinners. That is a fact. And so a lot of Christians are. They're very uncomfortable and they don't connect with the Holy Spirit out in the, what we call the real world. Because all we have is form. We're hiding in the caves out there. Our Christianity is hidden in the caves. We need to get out of the closet. We need to get so comfortable with the Holy Spirit. I love David. Here is this dignified king. He knew how to be a very dignified politician, very polished, knew how to establish a very upright, honorable government, had very dignified rulers around him. And yet, when the Ark of God came into the camp, the man knew how to go out and throw all that dignified clothing off and whirl about in public before the Lord. See, that's what made David the man that he was. What made him such a fierce fighter, such a powerful man of faith? Because he was in the middle of the road. He had the structure. He had the self-control. He understood the principles of God and how God thinks and how God works. But he also knew God. He knew how He flowed. He knew how He manifested. And David brought them both together, and he as a result, was an extremely successful man for God in this world. And he's an example for us. Come on, somebody. And then David, after he's whirled around and he's just having his time out there in the Spirit, because that's where he was, just out there flowing in the Spirit of God, he comes back to the house and his very dignified wife, Michal, she's back there at the palace, you know. Bible says she looked out the window and she saw him whirling around like just one of the common people. And she was embarrassed and she looked upon him with contempt. And when he came back, he's blessing everybody. David's blessing everybody. He's anointed, man. Anointing's all over him. I can imagine what kind of anointing he was under. I mean, he was whirling around. He's got the anointing all over him. He's blessing people. He comes back to his house, it says, to bless them. And he walks into the stiff, dignified queen. She's amazing. She's wearing royal robes. She's got a little crown. She's powerful. She's fierce looking. And he walks in and she looks at him and says, how dignified was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in front of all his maids like a base person shamelessly uncovers himself. David said, it was before the Lord. It was before the Lord who did all this for me, who gave me all this. It was before him. And I'll be even more undignified in his presence. I'm not worried what people think about me. I'm more concerned about pleasing him. But everything I have didn't come from by me being a man pleaser. It came because of God's mercy and grace on my life. And you better believe I'll whirl around and be even more dignified than this. And then the Bible says that she never bore any children. In other words, she remained barren for the rest of her life. In other words, we could say she was unfruitful. Why? Because she looked like a dignified queen. Very powerful. But all she had was a form. She didn't have the king. There was no intimacy between the two of them for the rest of her life. But she looked like something, didn't she? She looked like something. But in reality, she was nothing. We don't want to be stuck in that. We want to be like David, not like the religious queen back at the palace. That's a little bit between palace and castle. Callous. Hallelujah! Come on, bless God, get out of the palace. Get out there in the presence. Some people will honor a palace more than they do God's presence. But it's time to get out in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Learn to yield and flow and cooperate with the anointing of God. Catch what the Spirit of God is doing. Catch what he's saying. And hook up with him. And learn how to stay with him for at least the remainder of his service. So that we can know how to stay with him in life through the trials and tests of life. Because if we'll stay with him, we will always triumph and we will always win. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.